Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, now head of USAID, Samantha Power, has said conditions in Gaza are as dire as any she's seen in her career. She told U.S. senators this week that it's a famine, fundamentally. Meanwhile, UNICEF is documenting deaths of children from malnutrition. Their global spokeswoman, Tess Ingram, is in Rafah. And she explained to me earlier what happened this week when she and her team attempted to reach northern Gaza.
Yeah, so on Tuesday morning, UNICEF, together with UNRWA, tried to take a mission to the north of Gaza with nutrition supplies, medical supplies and 10,000 litres of fuel to refuel water wells in the north of Gaza. And the situation up there has been really dire. Aid has barely been able to get in. So this was a really important mission. When we were close to the Wadi Gaza checkpoint, which is about three quarters of the way up and it's the main access point into the north of Gaza, we were directed to wait in a holding area. And while we were there, gunfire broke out in the vicinity. It seemed to be coming from the direction of the checkpoint towards civilians who then turned and ran away from the checkpoint. We were lucky that we were inside our armoured vehicle and three bullets actually hit the car that I was in and we saw others ricochet off the ground. But thankfully, everyone was okay.
You describe it very calmly, but it can't have been an easy time for you and your colleagues.
No, it was shocking and scary because, of course, we were on a coordinated mission, which means our coordinates were known. And even more than that, we had been coordinating while we were on the move and we had been instructed to wait in this area. So our presence there was known and we were in a clearly marked UN vehicle.
When you say coordinating, you mean coordinating with the IDF, with the Israeli Defence Forces?
Yes, that's right. Every time we go on a mission into an area where there's active military operations, we let them know where we're going, at what time, to help them meet their obligations under international humanitarian law to keep us safe.
Do you know where the gunfire came from?
It seemed to come from the direction of the checkpoint.
And in the aftermath of what happened, what's been your interaction with the IDF?
We've raised this with the relevant Israeli authorities, but we're yet to receive a response. And the response that we're really hoping for, Mary, is that this won't happen again. We obviously saw the tragic incident with the World Central Kitchen colleagues just a week earlier, and we need to know that the practices in place to protect us are actually going to do that and that they'll be respected.
And of course, we know from UNRWA and others that up to 200 Palestinians working as aid workers in Gaza have also been killed during the course of the conflict. Did you manage to get aid through?
We didn't. And not because of the incident. We actually decided after that that we would continue and that this was such an important mission, we wanted to go ahead. But we were then delayed almost 3 hours at that holding point to the point that the mission wasn't feasible anymore. And we knew that even if we did get the green light to cross the checkpoint, that we wouldn't have had enough time to complete the mission. And so we had to leave and come back to Rafah. But we hope that we can go again on this weekend because it's just so important that we get these nutrition treatments up for children that we know are dying of malnutrition.
What else do you know about conditions there at the moment? Because people will remember northern Gaza was the first area of the Gaza Strip to be hit by Israeli bombardment in the aftermath of the Hamas attacks on October 7th.
Yeah, and honestly, colleagues that are from Gaza and have returned to the north with work, you know, for example, one of the colleagues who was driving this convoy on Tuesday, he's been before and he was telling me that seeing the level of destruction is just like something out of a film. He said he couldn't believe it and it was really hard to see. And of course, on top of that, we're talking about the people living amid this destruction, people who have no access to clean water, people who don't have access to proper food. And the fighting has continued for months. So I can only imagine what it would be like to be a child up there right now.
In the aftermath of the killing of the workers last week, Israel announced the reopening of a number of crossings and I think the construction of a new crossing to bring aid into northern Gaza. Has that happened?
So the areas crossing that they said would open, I believe now is not going to, but there is news that another crossing might. We haven't seen anything move aid in practice into the north. So we're still waiting for those crossings to become reality, to deliver aid at scale. And it's so important because, one, we need to get aid in quickly to these children in the north of Gaza, but also, at the moment, we're bringing the aid to the north all the way from the crossings in the south, and that is obviously very difficult and dangerous. So a crossing to the north would be a real game changer.
You're in the south at the moment. Is the fear of a ground invasion in Rafah still hanging over people there?
Yeah, in a really big way. I ask people about it when I meet them, mothers, and they tell me that they are afraid. They feel like it might happen, and they don't know what they would do if it did because they've exhausted all of their coping mechanisms. Some of these people have been displaced 5, 6, 7 times, and they're exhausted and they have nowhere left to go. So I really think that a ground offensive in Rafah would be an absolute catastrophe. And you see it when you're here on the ground, Mary, because every second person in Rafah, 600,000 out of 1.2 million, are children. So it really is a city of children.
And are you seeing or hearing any evidence that the Israelis are putting in place a plan to move people from Rafah in the event that that ground offensive goes ahead, as Netanyahu has said it will?
Nothing tangible on the ground. There's obviously reports of preparations being made, but here, nothing obvious yet that this is imminent. And I really hope that, you know, the international community can do everything possible to try and prevent this.
What are UNICEF's plans over the next number of days to try and get aid through now?
So we have a few missions planned in the coming days. One of them will be to go back to the north. We're desperate to try and make sure that we can complete that mission that was delayed and the life-saving supplies reach the children that need them. So that's back on the books. It takes a while to organise these, but we're planning and coordinating and hope to go back in the next day or so.
And that was Tess Ingram of UNICEF talking to me a little earlier.